الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد. My dear respected Muslims, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by sending peace, blessings, salutations upon our noble master Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Over the month of Ramadan, after Salatul Taraweeh, we've been deriving lessons from each juz of the Quran. Inshallah, we'll complete that Qiyamul Layl time, but for now, two messages. If we were to study the Quran, if we were to read the Quran, if we were to analyze the Quran, we will come to realize that Allah has made a promise, the Quran has made a declaration, that whatever good deed you and I do, whatever act of nobility we carry out, this act will never ever go unrewarded. In this dunya, if we do something diligently, honestly, loyally, it's very much possible the authorities over us, whether that be our employer, whether that be our guardian, whether that be our seniors, it goes unrewarded and unacknowledged. But every act of good deeds we do in this beautiful deen of Islam, we will definitely be rewarded for that action and it will definitely be acknowledged. Ibn Abi Dunya rahimahullah has mentioned, إِلْتَقَى رَجُلَانِ فِي السُّوكِ. Two men are in the market and they meet one another. One comes to the and he says, Ta'al, nadhkurullah fi ghaflatin nas. He says to his friend, come and let's remember Allah and talk about Allah in an environment where people tend to become heedless and lose focus. So they sit for a few moments and they talk about Allah. Famat ahaduhuma, one of them leaves this world. Then the latter sees the former in a dream. And he asks him, what happened? How did your affairs go? And how was things for you? So he says to him, Allah looked after me. I have been taken care of based off that one moment in the market where you and I, we spoke about Allah, we remembered Allah in an environment of heedlessness. One act was enough for him. One small act. Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu anhu, when he became a Muslim, prior to his Islam, he was a very charitable person. He would spend a lot. So when he becomes a Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Aslamta ala ma aslafta min khayr. O Hakim, the reason which led to you gaining hidayah and guidance was the fact that as a disbeliever, you were very charitable. So that act that you done, which was though before Islam, the act of nobility, of charity, which you used to carry out, though before Islam, it never went unacknowledged. It never went unnoticed. It never went unrewarded. And as a result of that, Allah guided you towards Islam. The lesson of today is, continue with your good a'mal for the rest of the year. There are some things in this world which money can't buy. There are some difficulties in this world where money can't allow you to exit from. The hadith of Bukhari, three individuals are traveling and they go inside a cave and a boulder comes and a big boulder, massive, it comes and blocks the entrance to the cave. The three individuals are inside. Now they know no amount of money is going to ease their exit. They know no wealth in the world can allow them to leave this cave. So what do they do? Each one of them says, let's make a dua to Allah and let's call out to Him with one action that we've done in our lives that was solely for Him, solely for His pleasure, solely for His happiness. So they have their spiritual reserve. When we are going through times of difficulty, times of hardship, we also should have a spiritual reserve we tap into. We think of the good deeds we've done and we use those good deeds to make dua to Allah to ease the path for us. One of them makes a dua. Oh Allah, كَانَ لِي أَبَوَانِ شَيْخَانِ كَبِيرَانِ. Oh Allah, I have parents, they were old. Every day I would go out to graze the animals and to milk the cows. One every night I would return and I would give my parents the milk first before my children and my wife. One day, oh Allah, I came home and I got a bit late. I was a bit delayed. I come home and my parents and my mother and my father are sleeping. So I had a choice, I had a decision I had to make. Should I feed my children and my wife prior to my parents, which wasn't my norm, which wasn't my habit? Or should I stand here by the bedside of my parents, and should I stand with this utensil full of milk and wait for them to awaken, arise, and then give them the milk and then my children? So he says, oh Allah, I waited. I stood the duration of the night, ya Allah, standing by my parents' bedside with this utensil full of milk. When they awoke, I gave them the milk, and thereafter, despite the fact that my kids were crying by my feet, I fed them the milk first, thereafter I gave it to my children and my wife. Oh Allah, if I done this solely for your pleasure, oh Allah, if I done this solely seeking your happiness, this difficulty that we are in, oh Allah, make a path out for us. So the stone and the boulder moves a little bit, not enough for them to exit. So now the second one comes. He also has a spiritual reserve. And he makes dua to Allah. Oh Allah, I had a cousin. There was no girl who was more beloved to me than her. I was infatuated with her. I was in love with her. But she was a woman of nobility. Whenever I tried to gain access to her, she would decline. But one day when dire need and poverty came knocking on her door, she came to me. And I gave her some money, and we were about to commit the act of zina. فَقَعَدْتُ بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهَا. We are ready to do zina, ya Allah. But at that moment, she told me that don't deflower me in a dishonorable way. Her one statement, ya Allah, for your sake, for your pleasure, I let her go and I let her take her money. Oh Allah, if I've done this for you, seeking your happiness. Oh Allah, if I've done this solely for your pleasure, oh Allah, create a path out for us. Once again, the boulder moves, but not enough for them to exit the cave. Now the third one comes. He says, oh Allah, I had an employee below me. He had a salary and a wage that I had of his, but he leaves and the wage remains with me. And now he's gone. And I thought to myself, should I just keep it with me or should I invest it? So I decided to invest his wealth into some business. And after some long period of time, this individual is going through hardship and he remembers, I've got some salary waiting by that man. Let me go and let me recover my salary and my wage. So Allah, he came to me and he asked me, you have a certain amount of money that belongs to me, which was my salary. I wish to have it back. So I told him, ya Allah, all these cows and sheep and goats and animals and everything you see is yours. So he tells me, don't mock me, don't make a joke of me, just give me my money and I'll be on my way. So I explained to him, everything you see was a result of your wage that I invested. He could have very easily given him his wage and he could have sent him on his way. But he was truthful to his word. He says, ya Allah, if I had done this action solely seeking your pleasure, oh Allah, create a path out and an exit for us from this difficulty. Once again, the boulder moves, this time leaving enough space for each and every one of them to exit. Now let's take a moment. Let's introspect our lives. We may not have boulders and we may not be in a cave, but each and every one of us has got a struggle we are going through. Each and every one of us has a boulder which is in our path, not allowing us to access what we desire. Do I have a spiritual reserve which I can tap into and take some good deeds and make dua to Allah? Oh Allah, I was in a certain scenario. Oh Allah, I was faced with this and I done this solely for your pleasure. Take the example of the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab's name was Abdul Uzza. He was known by Abu Lahab because Lahab in the Arabic language means flame. He was a man with fair complexion, with red cheeks, and with a stunning look. So he picked up the title Abu Lahab. So he is given the news by his slave girl that his brother's wife has given birth to a son. And that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he is given this news and he receives this news, he was worried because his brother had just left this world. His wife was due to give birth. What is the condition of my nephew? When he is given the news, he is jubilated, he is happy, he is excited. And out of happiness, it was the Arabs, they had a custom. If anyone came and gave them good news, they would show their token of appreciation by giving them a gift or giving them something. So now the slave girl comes and she says, your brother's wife has just given birth to a boy. Out of happiness, out of jubilation, out of excitement, He tells her, you are liberated. You are free to go. Out of happiness of the birth of his nephew. Then as time passed, he became a foe and an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also dies. After he dies, his brother Abbas radiallahu anhu sees him in a dream. And when he sees him in the dream, he tells him, what happened to you? You are an enemy of the messenger. How did things work out for you? So he says, I was an enemy of this messenger. I belied the truth. The truth came to me moment after moment, time after time, and I continue to reject. So now I am suffering. Now I am in punishment. However, every Monday, I receive a certain degree of grace, a certain degree of decrease in the punishment I am receiving, and I receive a little bit of water to drink. I receive every Monday a little bit of water and a reduce in my punishment. فَهَذَا كَافِرْ جَاءَ ذَنْبُهُ تَبَّتْ يَدَاهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ مُخَلَّدًا فِي الْجَحِيمِ مُخَلَّدًا أَتَى أَنَّهُ يَوْمَ اثْنَيْنِ يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُ بِالسُّرُورِ بِأَحْمَدًا Every Monday, out of acknowledgement of the fact that he celebrated the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that act of happiness also never went unrewarded. Yes, he became an enemy of the Messenger of Allah. Yes, he became a foe of the Messenger of Allah. But as a direct token of that act of happiness where he freed the slave when given the news of the birth of his son, he says, every Monday I receive a reduce relatively in my punishment. What have we done? The greatest hope we can take from this blessed month of Ramadan is the message to continue to do good. Inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin. Inna la nudhi'u ajra man ahsana amala. Allah says we don't waste the efforts of the people that do good. It will never go unacknowledged. It will always be rewarded. To the youth that have gathered here today, the world is inviting us towards haram. Let's also keep with us a spiritual reserve. The month of Ramadan, we've done great actions, alhamdulillah. The month of Ramadan, we stood for hours in salah. The month of Ramadan, we made dua to Allah. The month of Ramadan, we built and created a connection with Allah. The test for us after the month of Ramadan is to maintain this connection by continuing to do good deeds. Abu Sufyan radiallahu an, we end with this. Abu Sufyan radiallahu an was an individual who exhausted his energies against the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever he had an opportunity, he would cause harm. Whatever he had an opportunity, he would torment. Whatever he had an opportunity, he would taunt the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam. Hiraql, the king of the Romans, calls Abu Sufyan. And he asks Abu Sufyan a few questions. You have to remember, Abu Sufyan is that individual who hates the Prophet. Imagine if someone calls you and they ask you a few questions about someone you hate. What level of honesty would we show and would we implement? So Abu Sufyan is called. And the king asks him a few questions with regards to his enemy Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Sufyan says, I would have lied. I would have stayed away from speaking the truth. But I knew that the people behind me who were listening to my answers would have called me a liar for the rest of my life. So to save myself from that chip on my shoulder that I am a liar, I decided to speak the truth. Now Abu Sufyan, the question's beginning. How is Muhammad? Is he dhu nasab? Is he a person of a high lineage? So he answers truthfully. He says the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he asks, is he an honest man? He has to acknowledge the truth. وَالْفَضْلُ مَا شَهِدَتْ بِهِ الْأَعْدَاءُ The true virtue is that which your enemy can admit about you, not that which your friend can acknowledge you through. He was his enemy, but he said, "As he is my enemy and I do hate him, but truth be told, he is a very truthful man. Truth be told, he is a very honest man." Then he was asked the question, "Who follows this messenger? Is it the weak or the strong? Is it the poor or the rich?" So he said, "To be honest, in all honesty, is the more weaker individuals that are made, that make up his followers." Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, on the conquest of Mecca, at the time of Fath Mecca, he was blessed. He was honored. He was privileged with becoming part of our ummah. He was privileged with becoming a Muslim and believing in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reason for his guidance, scholars have written, was that moment where he decided to speak the truth. Think to yourselves, let's introspect. What good deeds have I done? That when I am faced with hardship, when I am faced with difficulty, I can call out to my Allah and make dua to my Allah and supplicate my Allah and tell my Allah that I done this action solely for your pleasure. The word in Arabic for youth is shabab, which comes from the root word shab, which means to progress and to develop. Let's ask ourselves, we young, we fall under the umbrella of the youth. How much have I progressed in my love for my Allah? In my job, I may have excelled. In my studies, I may have excelled. In the dunya, I may have excelled, no problem. How much have I developed in my connection with my Creator? Because the reality is, no matter how young we are, أترجو أن تكون وأنت شيخ كما قد كنت أيام الشباب لقد كذبتك نفسك لقد كذبتك نفسك. The poet so beautifully said it. Do you wish when you are old that you will worship Allah like you could have done when you were young? لقد كذبتك نفسك. You played yourself. Your nafs played you. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next Ramadan. Don't wait till the next 15th of Sha'ban or the 27th of Rajab. The next 11 months, continue to do good actions. Connect yourself with your local masjid. Become active in the community. See the masjid as your safe haven to protect you from the evils of haram. Because somewhere down the line, Allah forbid, if we're faced with a difficulty, if we are diagnosed with a certain sickness, if we are going through financial difficulties, at least we may have something. We may have a spiritual reserve where we can lift our hands and say, Ya Allah, this boulder of this cancer that has afflicted me, Ya Allah, I done this in my youth. When all the youngsters were in haram, Ya Allah. When all the youngsters were engaging in your disobedience, Ya Allah. When all the youngsters were doing every kind of sin, Ya Allah, I also faced a similar trial, Ya Allah. These harams were also put in front of me, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, solely for your sake, that one Friday night when I got a call, that one time when the boys were going out clubbing, Ya Allah, for your sake, Ya Allah, I said no and I stayed at home that night. Oh Allah, remove this boulder of this sickness or this financial difficulty out of my life. Oh Allah, I've done this solely for your pleasure. How many have we got? How many actions do we have like that? Think to yourself. If today any of us was to be afflicted with a calamity, how much reserve tank have we got of good a'mal? It's a question that needs to be answered. Everyone can answer for themselves. So as youngsters, connect yourself with the masjid to a certain degree, your iman will be protected. And the second message for today is, as parents, many a time we worry about our children's secular education. As long as my child becomes a doctor, alhamdulillah, as in the subcontinent, people boast and they brag and they're happy. Mera bacha doctor banega. He'll be what a lawyer banega. I got three kids. One is a lawyer, one is a doctor, one is an engineer. Alhamdulillah, I made it. My life is successful, brother. No problem. The message of today is, for the parents, as much importance you give to your children's secular education, as much importance you give to your children's physical health, ensure that you give an equal, if not greater amount of importance to your children's spiritual growth. Because on the day of Qiyamah, your son's not going to come and thank you for making him a doctor. Your son's not going to come and thank you for making him an engineer or a lawyer. But by the qasam of Allah, if your child was a child on deen, if your child was a child you empowered with the knowledge of qala Allah, qala Rasul, if your child was a child who knew the message of the Quran and the hadith and sunnah, by the qasam of Allah, that child will intercede for you on the day of Qiyamah. So give importance. I'm not saying some brothers might come to me and say, I wanted to make my son a doctor. Make your children a doctor. Make them the best doctor. Make them a lawyer. Make them the best lawyer. But not at the expense of their spiritual growth and their iman. Give importance to it, definitely. Make sure they're going to college. Make sure they're going to university. Make sure they are on top of their homework. But time to time, also make sure that they are on top of their salah. We ask our children, my son, have you done your homework for tomorrow? When was the last time we said, my son, have you performed your Salatul Isha? My son, did you perform Salatul Fajr this morning? These are questions as parents you will be asked on the day of Qiyamah. Your children are your responsibility. Your children are those individuals over whom you've been given authority. So as much as we concentrate on their secular education, give importance and due importance to their spiritual growth and nurturing and nourishment. And for that also, في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال. What kind of individuals are created in the masjid? رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. You want to make رجال. You want to make men out of your sons, keep them in the vicinity of the masjid, connected to the masjid. So the two messages, we all leave these doors today. Number one, continue to do good. The month of Ramadan, the sighting of the crescent of Shawwal doesn't mean I take off my hat and I put it in one corner of the house. I take off my thobe and I shove it under my shelf, and then till next Ramadan we don't touch it. The viewing of the crescent of Shawwal doesn't mean, you know what, hide my Quran in the lowest cupboard, in the lowest drawer, I don't want to see it, I'll see you next Ramadan. Continue to do good. Continue to do acts of virtue, and by the qasam of Allah, it will not go unrewarded. It will not go unnoticed. Sometimes at work, you've got your employer on top of you, you're working hard, you're grafting daily, you're there early, you leave late. But not once did your boss come and say to you, good job, well done, I'm happy to see your progress, you might even get a promotion. Not once. But you can do something in the dead of the night, no creation knows, no human knows. But it has been recorded and you will definitely be rewarded for it. Be rest assured, you will definitely be rewarded for it. And the second message is, connect yourself with the masjid, connect your family with the masjid, connect your children with the masjid. And understand that the masjid is where the special blessings of Allah Rabbul Izzah descend. The masjid is the place where we come when we have a problem and we talk to Allah. Now the sad reality is we are hit with a calamity. The first thing we do, we want to phone and talk. This person, that person, you know what happened? Can you help me this? When was the last time we spoke to Allah? When was the last time we communicated and conversed with our Creator? With our maker, with our sustainer, with our nourisher. When was the last time we came into the masjid solely just to meet Allah and talk to Him? No good deed will go unacknowledged, unnoticed, and unrewarded. And secondly, inshallah, try and connect yourselves with the masjid. And to the youth that have been coming to this masjid regularly, time and time again, alhamdulillah, every year you're here. By the qasam of Allah, Allah is knowing and Allah accepts it and Allah acknowledges it. But the rest of the 11 months of the year, why are we not coming? What's that spiritual block? What element of my life is not allowing me to go to the house of Allah to meet Allah? Introspect over your lives. Take a moment to sit in one corner of the masjid or one corner of your home and think to yourself, in Ramadan, I'm coming for Qiyamul Layl at 2:30 in the morning. The other 11 months, Apart from Salatul Jumu'ah, when do I ever frequent the masjid? The youth need to take these responsibilities, because now most of the youngsters here, you got kids. And look at the US alone, the rise of atheism in the US alone is increasing by the day. If we are not connected to the masjid, how can you imagine that your child is going to be safeguarded from this fitna and test of atheism when they're going to university and college and they're being fed that there is no creator? If they haven't got a strong Islamic fundamental teachings, if they don't have that threshold of Iman and Islam and the masjid, how can you be so happy and relaxed that my child atheist, brother? Impossible. It's happening. So connect yourselves with the masjid throughout the year. This season of Ramadan is for us to excel and to push hard and work harder. But the season of Ramadan is not just for us to become seasonal Muslims and only for the month of Ramadan. If we do come in Ramadan, alhamdulillah, is very good. Continue to come every Ramadan. But out of Ramadan, give some due importance. We make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzah. He allow us to be in the masjid, to connect to the masjid. He allow us youth to grow and develop. The youth, shab means, remember, the Arabic word for youngster is shab, which means to grow, to develop. Remember, I need to develop and grow in my love and my connection with my Creator. SubhanAllah, wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.